So I'll speak for a little bit on karuna or compassion. So, and before I do, I find it helpful to think of talks with a certain structure in my mind. So when I think of the four Brahma Viharas, as Sue's mentioned, metta is the starting place. It establishes this mind of care that we bring to all the other Brahma Viharas, all the other three that we talk about. We begin with cultivating this love, this kindness. And the way I think of both compassion and sympathetic joy, mudita, which I'll talk about next, is in a way as being situational, you know, situational applications. So compassion is where metta meets suffering. And sympathetic joy is where, of course, it meets joy or happiness. So they're kind of, how does this mind of love meet these different things we encounter in our lives? One is suffering, one is joy, one is happiness. And then we end with equanimity, which I'll let Suze do. So that's my framing for these two talks that that we're going to have next. This one on compassion and this one on sympathetic joy. So when I think of metta meeting suffering, right? That's what we're defining compassion as. We can dive into this a little bit more. So first of all, when we talk about this, when we talk about meeting suffering, we're really talking about facing with an open heart the suffering of ourselves or of others, right? It's not shutting down or numbing in the face of suffering. It's really turning towards it with an open heart. And that is actually a quality that I've seen throughout learning about the Brahma Viharas. It's really this unconditioned open heart that we open. No matter what's going on, we face it with an open heart. So there are some nuances here that distinguish compassion from just this feeling that we have with metta. You know, with metta, there is the sense of radiating. You know, we're meeting everything with love. We're staying where we are, and we're issuing this love outward. Compassion has a certain movement to it. It's getting up and getting out there. It's rolling up our sleeves and meeting the suffering, right? It could be the suffering of others. It could be our own suffering. And there is a quality of empathy, you know, that is in the way we meet suffering. We're really feeling the suffering. We're getting in there and really sort of having a sense of it. And once we feel, oh, there's suffering there. Oh, there's something really bad here. When we meet that with a mind of love and care, right? You know, there's often this desire to relieve the suffering, having this urge to help. So that's what I mean by a movement. There's this kind of movement that, you know, pushes us forward into wanting to help. So how do we cultivate compassion? What practices help you? So the Reverend Angel Kyodo says, and I really liked this, this resonated with me when I heard this advice. We don't actually cultivate compassion. We cultivate the conditions for compassion, right? You know, there are several practices where, you know, we're asked to imagine, you know, a person that we care about and the suffering of that person and evoking what we might feel in that circumstance. But really, none of that is actually meeting suffering. Right? What we're doing is we're preparing ourselves for the moments where we actually in life are going to meet suffering, when it actually just jumps in front of us. Maybe it's our own suffering. All of a sudden something happens and we're forced to confront it. Or we see someone, or someone we care about, or maybe it's something in the news, or maybe it's someone we don't know at all, but we see the suffering. What do we do in that moment? How do we meet that with love? We're preparing for these moments where it actually happens. So how do we cultivate the conditions for compassion? How do we bring ourselves to a state where when those things actually occur, we can meet them? So one piece of advice is cultivating loving kindness, cultivating metta within ourselves, right? If we're actively practicing, as Suze has urged us to cultivate this mentality, this mind of care, we're reaching a position where when we approach or meet anything in life, suffering or anything else, we're there with love. We're there with kindness. It's been cautioned that this practice of cultivating compassion should start with self-compassion. So I'm going to mention a teaching that I've heard often said, and then I'm going to give my own thoughts on it. The teaching that I've heard mentioned several times is that self-compassion is a necessary element to moving toward compassion to others. That we have to start with ourselves. Now, as Suze has pointed out, it can be very hard to start with ourselves. And I'm not entirely sure that we must start with ourselves, although I've heard that urged. What I would say, though, is that ourselves give us a lot of opportunity to practice with suffering. We don't have to wait for it to come and jump out towards us. We can tap within ourselves to really practice with the things within us that we know we suffer with, right? There's a lot of material there. You know, if you're looking for any pointers, you know, think of your fears. Think of what causes you anxiety, self-judgment, shame, not enoughness, not enough time, acceptance of our bodies. Oh, there's so much, right? There's so many things that are tender in us, right? That when we really turn towards with an open heart, we can really touch our own suffering. So there's that benefit to starting with self-compassion, is that this is really a place where we can practice in a genuine way, right? So that we can meet it in all the various ways that it approaches us in our lives. And the ways in which it emerges anew in ourselves in ways we haven't seen it yet. Another thing is, it certainly does help to have self-compassion, to really cultivate the self-love, to be able to give more generously of this love to others. So while I don't know if it's impossible to give to others without giving to ourselves first, I do think it greatly aids that practice. So self-compassion, how do we move towards this? I'll share one practice that works for me. It is imagining ourselves sitting besides ourselves and tapping into the fact that, you know, we do at some level love ourselves. The person we're sitting beside is this person we care about and we want the best for. And if you can just feel a friendliness or a wish for the health or goodwill of this person, ourselves, we can start to give compassion to that person as though it were a good friend of ours in a way that's sometimes hard to do directly when we're imagining it as ourselves. So that's a specific practice that works with me. Another practice, and this is again mentioned by the Reverend Angel Kyodo, is when we are practicing with awareness, we can sometimes sense that something gets in the way of our awareness, right? She describes it as a tension that gets in the way of trying to be mindful and present. For me, I often find it's a desire to distract myself. I will suddenly be drawn to anything but the present moment and the here and now. And that's telling me, so like, no, don't look over here. Why not look over there instead? And so the practice is, when you notice that happening, find out what the tension is hiding. Have a curiosity to investigate. Well, what's behind this? What's behind this distraction and this tension? And by doing that, we can more open-heartedly turn towards these places of suffering.